Today's reading is taken from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 21. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God, yet hates a brother or sister, is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God, whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you. Thank you, Phil, for that warm introduction. Now, I did consider preaching this sermon in Wolof, but I decided against it, so you're okay. Now, with all the love hearts and red roses that abounded this week, it might not have escaped your notice that it was Valentine's Day on Tuesday. Now, some of you may have sent a card. Some of you may have received a card. Some of you may have sent and received more than one card. I don't think I'm going to do a show of hands on that right now, just in case, for the sake of good relations. But I wonder if any of you sent as many cards as one high school student in Ohio, because they spent 6 months preparing 1,300 heart-shaped origami cards that they had made, and they'd written on it, "You are loved." And on the Monday night before Valentine's Day, they spent the whole night pasting the cards on the front of every single locker in the high school for all of the students and all of the teachers, so that when everybody came in on Valentine's morning, they were greeted with that wonderful message: "You are loved." Isn't that a fantastic story? Just love it. Love, I think we forget sometimes, is actually more than just a feeling. Love is a choice, and love is an action. And I think that's what that story said, tells us so clearly. The cards there up on the screen. And I think actually that that's what John is trying to tell us in the whole of his letter. He's encouraging us to not only choose Christ, but to keep choosing Christ. To keep choosing Christ in every circumstance. To choose that way of love. And the word for love that he uses is agape, and that is an all-encompassing, a selfless love, a universal love, a love that transcends all circumstances, the kind of love that God has for us. And that's the love that John was encouraging amongst those early Christians around Ephesus. He was urging them to be a faith-filled community, a community that had their hearts both full of love for God and love for each other. And that's what he's encouraging us to do here today in Reigate. We're going to look at this call to love a little bit more closely. But we've been now, I think we're our seventh week of looking at 1 John, and we're beginning to see themes that keep reoccurring. They keep reappearing, don't they? And to me, reading John's letter, he writes a little bit like an artist uses paint on a canvas. He keeps reapplying, overlaying to add emphasis and depth and to make a point. And the three themes that really stand out in a reading that Hannah brought for us this morning, the three colors, if you like, that stand out to us, are firstly, God's love for us. Now let's think about that in a deep, rich gold. Secondly, how we respond to that love. Let's think of that in a deep azure blue. And lastly, what that response looks like, how we actually live that out in the world. Let's imagine for that a fresh, vibrant green. Now, firstly, God's love for us. That is the rich gold that pervades the whole letter, the whole story, if you like. It's the truth that all love came from God. God is the source of all love in the world. Verse 19 says, "We love because God loved us first." He was here at the very beginning, it is with us now, and it will be with us for all time. God's love with us. And this love is both a relational love and an invitational love. The love that we experience and share is purely as a result of God's love for us. Now, we see this response, actually, of love in our own families, don't we? Particularly with young children. With a newborn babe, for example, the direction of love is all one way. That little creature is totally dependent on its mother's love. But as it grows and develops, it begins to respond to that love. It will light up when it sees its mother's face. It begins to reach out to her. It begins to love her back. And that's how it is with our love for God. And how did God show his great love for us? Well, he gave his only son to die on the cross so that we may be saved and our sins may be forgiven. And it was through that ultimate sacrifice that we can be reconciled with God our Father. That there is nothing now keeping us from him. That our relationship can be once again a full and loving relationship with him, as was always his intention for his creation. The ancient Greek fathers depict God as a divine circle dance. The Greek word for this is, some of you may come across it, it's perichoresis. And actually, we get our word choreography from the same stem. And what it depicts is a continual flow of love, the flow of love between the Father and the Son and back again in that round dance, that ever-continuing round dance. And what Jesus' death means for us is that we can be part of that dance. We too can be part of that divine dance. That is what God wants for us. So now let's turn our eyes to the second theme, and our eyes are caught by that vibrant azure blue. We're reminded now how we respond to that wonderful, generous, lavish love that God shows to us. We see in 1 John 4, verse 15, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. Quite simply, what John is saying is that in our response to God's love, our natural response is simply to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that his Spirit lives in us. It's probably helpful just to give a little bit of context here. We've been hearing a lot about Gnosticism in the last few weeks. And essentially, there'd been a really bad rift in the early Christian church. And many had left and gone to join the Gnostics. And the Gnostics believed that actually Jesus was too divine to be human, and that salvation came not from his death and resurrection, but rather from some special knowledge that only they had. So what John is really keen to do here is to say, no, the truth is Jesus. The truth is God incarnate, who is Jesus. He was fully man and fully God. And salvation comes only from him. And what's more, he's given us his Spirit. He's given us his Spirit to live in us. And that Spirit will live in us always. And it's a Spirit that we can trust in. It's a love that we can be sure of, a love that we can rely on. And so we come to our third theme. And our eye is drawn once again to that really vibrant, fresh green. And this is about how we live out that love that we're showing for God and God has for us. Now, in our opening hymn this morning, we sang the words, "Fill our heart with your life." And surely that is our deepest desire, isn't it? To have our hearts filled with God's life, to have our hearts filled with the Holy Spirit. That Spirit that actually transforms us from within. And as God's love grows and develops within us, then it overspills. It overspills from us. And that's how his love is known in the world. That's how we make God visible to the world. And John says that the only way that we can tell, really, that God is in us and we are in others is through our love for each other. We cannot, he says, both love God and at the same time, fail to love our brothers and sisters. So how are we actually going to live out that love? How does it look in practice? Well, for that, I think we can turn to the 5th century visionary, St. Benedict. And he devoted his whole life to growing a community based on God's grace and God's Spirit. And he developed a rule. It's called the Benedictine Rule. And one of the things he said, this rule was like a guide for living, if you like. One of the things he said was that we should be Christ to each other and to see Christ in each other. To be Christ to each other and to see Christ in each other. Now, I think what he's saying here is not only must we try to encourage each other and build each other up, we must try and help each other be the people that God knows we can be, that God wants us to be, but also to see Christ in each other. So we can see the preciousness of that individual as God sees them, as in God's eyes. There is an African Zulu greeting, which is Sawubona. Sawubona. And I think that this spirit, if you like, of this this rule resonates in that greeting because it means, I see you. I see your humanity. I see your dignity. I see your respect. I hear you. Now, last week, for any of you who were able to be with us, Helen actually spoke about the importance of our listening to God and discerning his voice. But I think what we're being told here, that it's also really important that we listen to each other, that we hear each other. And I think that we should try and pay attention. And that way we can really respond to each other's needs. I believe that we all have compassionate hearts, but I think sometimes in this frantic world in which we live and these busy lives that we lead, I think sometimes it's just all too easy not to see each other. I think sometimes we get too busy, too caught up with our own lives to see each other and to hear each other. This is going to sound really harsh, but dare I say that sometimes if a need is actually pointed out to us, then without doubt we respond with generous, loving hearts. Witness the Samara appeal that we had here a few weeks ago. I was blown away by the generosity of the response there. It was amazing. And equally, if perhaps our care is scheduled into our lives, the Easter Project, the carers groups, then once again we give our wholehearted attention and love to that project, to those people at those times. But what I'm saying is, what about all the other times in our lives? What about those times when we're at work? When we're really busy, when we've got deadlines to meet, we're under pressure to get something out. What about those times when someone comes to us and needs to talk? Or perhaps we're at home and we're rushing to get out, to get to the school gates, to pick the kids up from school, and the phone rings. What about then? Or perhaps if we're in the dentist or the doctor's waiting room, we're going in because you've got a sore throat. Someone's going in because their partner is dying of cancer. What about then? What about when we share coffee after the service? Do we want to have a quick coffee and rush off, or are we prepared to really listen to what people have to say? I just wonder if in those times we are really able to say, Sawubona, I see you. I hear you. One of the most beautiful depictions to me of God's love for us is the icon of the Trinity. It was painted by Andrei Rublev, and the original is in the Tretyakov Gallery in Moscow. I haven't been to Moscow, but I did see, my husband and I, Simon, saw a copy of this icon in Ely Cathedral. And like all icons, it has that amazing ability to both draw you in, but at the same time to project you outwards, to take your eyes out beyond the picture and beyond yourselves. And as you'll see, it's come up on the screen now, as you'll see, it depicts the three figures of the Trinity. We've got God the Father on the left in the gold, and for Rublev, gold symbolizes wholeness, it symbolizes purity and perfection. And then we have in the middle, we have Christ. We have Christ the Son, and he is draped in blue. And for Rublev, the blue was the mirroring of the sea and the sky. It was, if you like, two in one. God reflected in Christ, and Christ coming down to be with humanity. And the figure on the right is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is wearing green, that fresh, vibrant green. And green is the color of fertility, of abundance. And it shows the vitality of life, vitality of God's love. And there they are, those three, that perfect Trinity in union. We can see the communion actually symbolized by that one bowl that they're sharing in the center of the table. But if you look a little bit closer at the icon, I got one here actually. If you look a little bit closer, you can see that the hand of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, is actually outwards, like this. It seems to be beckoning to the fourth place at the table, the empty place at the table. And if you look even closer, if you look at the table, you can see there's a little rectangle there on the front of the table. And art historians say that the remnants of glue that were found on that table suggest that at one time there was a mirror there, so that when you looked at the icon, we could see ourselves reflected there, sitting at the table with the Trinity. And as John tells us in his gospel and in his letter, that is God's wish for all of us, to be in that perfect community, to be in that communion of love, to see each other, to hear each other, to respect each other, build each other up, and give each other dignity. Complementing and enhancing each other, but also always looking outwards. Looking outwards, we sang about a church without walls, breaking down these walls, and that's what it's about, the love of God. Looking outwards and beckoning and inviting the other in. So what's that picture saying? I think it's saying, come, come, come and join us. Sit and eat with us. Look, we've left a place for you. You are welcome here. And may that be the vision for all of us, both as individuals and as a community of people, as we try and be God's church here today. May we pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your amazing gift of love to the world, for your sacrifice of love, this love that we can trust and rely on, that came before us, is with us now and will always be with us. We pray that your loving Spirit may grow and deepen within each and every one of us, transforming us to become the people you need us to be, that your generous love will forever spill over, making you visible to the world, bringing others to your table, bringing you glory. We ask this in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.